Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love the most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus more of the dietary fiber and protein you want, no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HERO10 at checkout. That's HERO10 at HERO.co.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast. On the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Did you say bagel?
No, I did not.
Get out of here, nerd!
I'm your best fan.
That's nice.
We're good to go.
All right. Hey, welcome to the last podcast. I'm Ben Kissel with Marcus Parks. And with us, as always,
Henry Sabrowski.
Just Henry today.
Yeah, let's just be me for
just
a day.
Be you.
Yeah.
All right. Why not?
Why not?
You know, just throw it out there. Just being me, being Henry. What's in the box?
Henry's
in the box.
I love
it. Get me out of this box.
Hey, you're out of it.
Hell, you're so damn ugly. Put him back in the box.
I'm such a silly little romper.
You smell bad, too.
What?
No, he doesn't smell bad. He smells good. He doesn't smell like an alien.
I have this natural body spray from Lush called, what was it called? I want to say it's called, like, Beechin.
Beechin,
like
when you go to the beach and take off your clothes, people are like, put water on him. He's beechin.
No. Beechin is like chillin.
Oh, okay.
But it's beechin.
Yeah.
But belly first. Yeah.
I see. All right.
Stranded on a ledge somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it. I want to go beaching with you anytime.
Oh, we'll do it tomorrow.
All right.
Yay.
Well, we're going to talk about aliens today.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Now, more so. So we've broached the UFO topic before, and we have talked with an abductee. Again, I'm not going
to. Alleged abductee.
May or may not have been an abductee.
Have you guys read the book?
No. I thumbed through the book the other day when I was on the old toilet there, and I wasn't sure what was more full of shit, my asshole or the book.
It
was very bizarre. But I liked it, though. It was
You are a very good reviewer.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
All of your metaphors revolve around shit.
Yeah, well, I review everything well taken as shit. Oh, the shit movie reviewer would be amazing.
I like to call useful poo-poo doo-doo.
Absolutely.
So today what we are talking about is, it's a very serious subject. It is the secret alien agenda. Now, this isn't even just about the nature of aliens. All of this presupposes, no matter what, that aliens are real and are a secret part of life that our government has been keeping from us for either, like, to save us and protect us or just to deceive us in order to help create their new world order.
It would completely destroy everything that they've worked so hard to create if all of a sudden aliens exist. We're no longer the most powerful forms on Earth.
Unless it was always a part of the plan to slowly integrate aliens surreptitiously by insinuating that aliens exist and then ridiculing those that stood for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we've said many times, this is Hegelian dialectic, that the government could be playing both sides and is allowing us to slowly to understand alien life forms by ridiculing it for so long.
Right, by via Will Smith.
Yes.
That's pretty much our basics.
Who's a member of Scientology, again, who's just like, well, he did ID4, and now he is trying not to be gay anymore with the use of alien magic, so we'll see what happens.
Not working.
Extremely gay. But that's fine. Do we want to talk about Phil Schneider up top?
I think let's kind of just start with a general thing that...
Okay.
So there are many different people who come out to talk about the alien agenda. You can say that their motives and who they are dubious at most.
They just want to make money via public speaking gigs.
Possibly. And then there's also a lot of people.
David Icke, definitely.
David Icke I think David Icke just lost his mind. Like pretty hardcore. But David Icke, all of this stuff is corroborated by many different sources. Right. And there are a lot of people that believe, again, that there's like, apparently a part of the alien agenda is that it's only been revealed psychically to about 15 people, and they have been charged with slowly releasing this information over time. And then there's also people that believe that we're parts of government like programs who believe that they have seen aliens and have had contact and know secret information. Now, again, these are all people who come out to say this stuff at their own personal peril. You know what I mean? Like, they're ridiculed. They lose their jobs.
A lot of them die.
But they also...
Some murdered.
And they also get... Some get murdered. And so, yeah. Or quote-unquote, not murdered, or like they die of mysterious circumstances. And then...
Colon cancer.
Colon cancer.
Yeah, that's big amongst alien believers.
Yeah, and that's just like the CIA is all over butt cancer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where they probe.
That's what we did to Russia. We made the wall fall.
Mm-hmm.
We went in and gave the fucking Berlin Wall some colon cancer, and it fell asleep while driving.
That's right.
It came tumbling down.
That's the most beautiful metaphor for the fall of the Soviet Republic that I've ever heard.
Hey, absolutely.
I'm a poet. You know? People have called me the modern Walt Whitman of ass play.
I've heard that. They're not wrong. You're brilliant.
So a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today, it comes up over and over again, and there's a lot of stuff. So let's start with the government.
You just want to start with the government.
Now, again, this is saying that aliens are beings from other planets that are either... That, you know, they're either interdimensional, they are corporeal, and they're hiding within our Earth. There's many, you know, there's, you know, the what's the term? Small Earth theory, the idea of like the inner Earth. Mm-hmm. Where there's a whole
Shambhala.
I think that's the proper pronunciation.
All right.
For
Shambhala.
That. So there's some people who believe that aliens are living inside the Earth right now. There's some people that aliens are living inside of Venus. There's some people who believe that aliens exist all around us, but because they're interdimensional beings, we can't even see
them. And of course, the alien from Venus is Valiant Thor.
We'll get to the Valiant
we'll
Thor.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get more to Shambhala as well.
Shambhala. Yeah.
Let's start with
Shambhala.
Let's start with one of the most famous governments of all time, the Nazis.
Germany. You'd say most famous governments?
I think so, yeah. One of the most famous
political
governments. Political parties, yeah.
The government.
We can get straight into Shambhala then. This belief is called esoteric Hitlerism. It's spearheaded by this guy named Miguel Serrano. Chilean. God, South Americans love Nazis.
I don't
so
understand,
much.
But they got all the beaches and the guavas.
Yeah, they
they're beaching
they
it all the time. Like, why are they hating so much?
Yeah, they're beaching it, but they're Nazi-ing it, too.
Why?
Why be beaching it? They're so happy. They need to
like
have a lot of hate
as well.
You
can't be beaching and be Nazi-ing all at once.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't think that you can be named Miguel and be a Nazi all at once.
No, because you're too busy playing a trumpet, dancing around a hat.
Esoteric Hitlerists believe that the Aryan race is descended from an alien species of the highest order, finding evidence in the story of the Nephilim in the Bible, which, by the way, the Nephilim are they're called sons of God.
It's the same people talk about
Arachnophobia.
I should know this. The Sumerian like alien type creatures. They're very similar.
And they're also giants.
Yes.
Yeah. They're giants.
They're very similar.
They inhabited Canaan, according to Numbers 13:33. They say that the Nephilim are this alien species.
About 7'8" they are.
That's true.
That's what they say.
They could all have been like Croatians on a various, like, sprinkled throughout the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So they believe that these Nephilim were an ancient alien civilization, came to Earth to enlighten man. They bred with ancient Earthlings, and the Aryan race are the only race alive that maintains any of the purity of their blood of these lofty ancestors.
That's good to hear.
Serrano taught that the alien gods were hiding with Adolf Hitler in an icy underground fortress from which they will one day emerge with fleets of spacecraft to usher in the Fourth Reich.
It just sounds like they're going for a Hail Mary pass here.
It's a big Hail Mary pass.
I just also imagine the aliens sitting in aliens and Adolf Hitler sitting in an icy underground chamber, all with like coronas in the ice. You know,
just having a good time beaching it.
Who's got some limes?
You know,
who's brought the lemons and the limes?
You know, if it was up to me, we would never start the Fourth Reich. I'm having a great time here.
I'm just here. I'm beaching it. I'm loving to my
I'm
life.
I'm beaching it. It's you know, so if we look, have this, it's fine.
I love that as an offshoot branch of just a thing that's obviously not true. And the other thing, but you start from there, right? So let's start with let's go to Nazism and starts where modern belief of the alien agenda comes from. It's like it starts in 1933 with the Nazis, right? Now you got a bunch of people who talk about this.
a bunch of people.
Interesting. I think that was your alien side talking.
Why did my voice
talking? I don't
just
know.
Change yeah, like that.
Are your teeth
weird.
Tingling?
I feel sick.
All right. Do you smell toast?
So apparently, now let's go way back, way back.
Take it all the way back.
Before modern humankind. Uh-huh. All right. There was a group of aliens that supposedly, there were several groups of aliens that landed on the planet Earth, right? Mm-hmm. You have the people like the Pleiades, right? Mm-hmm. And the Pleiades are a human-looking alien race. And one thing you're also going to discover is that they believe...
They were good at bending.
They bended.
Pilates.
So it starts, and they got, what's the term? They were...
Transmuted?
No, they crash landed. I'll use that.
They can't drive. Aliens can't drive.
They can't drive.
I don't know what it is
they're like
them.
Asian women.
It's weird.
you stop here. Oh, it's Yarrow. Uh-huh. It's Yarrow. You stop. It's warning. It's warning for you to stop.
All right.
The obligatory offending the Asians.
Yeah, it's okay, just a little, going. But that's just a character I was playing.
Yeah,
that's fine. No one's upset.
So Pleiades crash landed here in Egypt, and they lived underneath Giza, where the pyramids were born. Were made. They believe that what they did is, again, they manipulated humankind there. They mated with humans, and they created the pyramids in order to help a rescue ship find them. Right?
Nice. It would be kind of fun to fuck one of these alien chicks. So, very lucky,
God.
Man.
Let's just say. Oh, yeah. One time I fucked a girl with real bad eczema. It was like fucking.
I remember that on Roundtable. It's sexema. You remember?
Yeah, sexema.
So, so that's one group of aliens that supposedly landed on like a planet on Earth. Now, there's a big talk. Let's say the big thing is there are several different, like, conflicting ideas as to why why aliens come to Earth. One is that there's like
they can drive,
right? You know, certainly not 55. And then they come to Earth either because of the spark of consciousness that started here with human beings, right? Mm-hmm. And that all of these civilizations wanted to get in on manipulating us in order to either create like allies in the future or raise us as food, right? Because the Pleiades wanted to,
I tell you, these monkey men, they're gonna be big someday. They're gonna be big. We want to get in on the ground floor.
I say we make a whole basketball team of these monkey men. That wasn't me. I wasn't being racist.
No, going back to the dawn of, we were all monkeys.
So we're excited. Tempers were running high. It's fine.
That's my wings are melting. That was one idea, right? So the Pleiades came in order to manipulate us in their image. And then there are people like the Draconians, which are the dreaded, as David Icke says, like these are the reptilian creatures that apparently also came to Earth, helped create humankind as a slave race.
Okay.
And basically there was a conflict between the Draconians and the Greys, another series, which is our more traditional alien, mm-hmm, right? Because the Draconians are said to be reptilian in form. They grow from anywhere from 8 feet to 22 feet.
Oh, wow!
And they made us to be their handmaidens. And then the Greys came down and said, "Leave these humans alone. You're going to be forced to live inside the Earth." In the hidden earth theory, the Shambhala. And they were sort of, I don't know what the term is, exiled there into saying, like, when we conquer the human race, we will give you a chunk of them.
For food.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Now, this is just basic alien agenda. This is just where it all starts. Now, that's when everything
seems
starts.
Like a lot just for, like, some food. I mean, they're...
Yeah, it seems like a lot to go through.
We're really tasty.
You just got to get a microwave, get some chicken.
I mean, pigs are very similar.
You know
more meat on the pig.
Yeah, you'd think they could just get a pig.
Do you know Cadbury mini eggs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, like the little, like the M&M eggs?
That's the soul.
Those are my favorite things. But what I'm saying is, but they only come out at Easter. Ah, you know? So right. You got to get a bunch of bags. That's what I do. I get a good 6, 7, 8 bags of them, and I keep them in my freezer.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, freezer. And I have that for forever, and that's what they're doing to us.
Oh, okay. If I may interject, my favorite reputed reptilians, Chris Christopherson and Boxcar Willie.
Not bad.
Hey, oh, there is a belief that reptilians do walk the earth in disguise. But
George W. Bush, Queen Elizabeth II, both reputed reptilians.
But they also say apparently you can tell because they have...
I just spilled water all over my laptop.
he said, looks good, though. He didn't scream. He could have definitely could have screamed.
That was really...
I'm calm under pressure.
You took that like a man.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I would have been screaming like a little girl right
That's
now.
That's right, but I'm strong and smart.
You can use my shirt there.
All right, bud.
They say you can tell a reptilian is in human costume by the slight ridges on his cheekbones and his reptilian eyes.
Well, Mayor Bloomberg also. Mm-hmm. Oh, reptilian,
Mayor Bloomberg is.
They just some Nazi. He's like, I know the Jews are reptiles.
Yeah, Bloomberg and my old boss both had very reptilian features.
And Obama was also believed too. Yeah. That was David Icke's big thing.
I would not be surprised if any and all of those people were reptiles.
I'm going to try to say I hope they are.
Yeah, why not?
Wish they were.
Definitely.
But just like, again, I'm sorry that like we kind of get stopped. All of this is very, very complicated.
Extremely. That's why we're kind of getting a little off track here and there because I am not smart enough to wrap my head around this whole thing.
Because, I mean, if you look at, because there are certain people who've come out and talked about this, right? You know, there's like a lot of this information comes from a guy named Alex Collier, right? Who was there's this normal guy who believed that he was psychically contacted by the Aldebarans, right? Which is one of the two alien races that are friendly to humankind. And that the other nine, right? There's 11 known races.
Yeah.
And that the other nine are anti-human, which just more like want to manipulate humankind, where the other two want to help release us from alien manipulation.
Where do the grays fall in on this?
The grays are bad.
Bad.
The grays, so...
Shit, I was hoping that was good.
Oh, I don't even know. How do I even get to here? In 1954, apparently Eisenhower signed a treaty with the grays, right?
Okay.
And that they live underneath Area 51.
Uh-huh. What Area 51's for.
Yes. Well, it's one of the literally countless things that is jammed under the umbrella that is Area 51.
That was awesome video game.
Love that video game. That was with the pedal reload, which I love.
Yeah. And was Aerosmith a part of that one?
No, that was Aerosmith Revolution. That was a different game, same concept, though.
Okay, did Aerosmith record Crazy at Area 51?
It's possible.
Phil Spector, he invented the wall of sound at Area 51.
Reptilian.
To kind of hurry up to the modern time, the contemporary alien agenda, there is belief that at the time, grays, like, the Pleiades that were
this
stuck
is one of the weirdest
the
episodes of all time. I don't even know if we should continue to record it. I feel like the aliens have not.
I mean, I've researched this and I'm lost.
I just don't know what to say. I just don't know where to start.
Let's We're 16 minutes into the episode and we still haven't figured out where to start.
We got to get
it's
a
so complicated. I thought we had
let's get a framework.
All right.
Let's take a positive framework.
Okay. Beaching it.
Beaching it.
Okay. All right. So we're at beaching it. Okay.
We've got that.
So we're good with beaching it. You smell good. You have a
fragrance. I'm fine. I'm covered. It's natural scent. It's got rosemary and mint.
I've got a good natural musk myself.
You smell fine.
Yeah.
I'm so hot in here.
I know. I am dying.
Very hot in here.
Oh, okay. So hot.
All right.
So here's
another. Hold hands and take a breath. Okay.
All right.
So go.
Let's just start. All right. 1930. Let's just do all the other stuff is just fun stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's just start from 1933. All right. 1933. The Greys, a race of aliens, made themselves known to our Nazi government, right?
Yes.
The Nazi governments refused to work with the Greys because they were secretly working with a group of Pleiadians hidden under Egypt named the Giza Intelligence. This is all true right now. It's all just stuff stuff I've read.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So the Greys went back into hiding until 1947 when a group of Greys crash landed in Roswell, New Mexico and began communications with their government because they...
No, this is the U.S. government here.
This is the U.S. government. In Roswell, New Mexico, a craft crashed. They recovered the crash and three living entities that were all taken to a place known as Groom Lake or would become come to be known as Area 51.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Oh, also known as S2, S3, S4, and it was also known as Magic Mountain and like other ridiculous things, right? So the aliens were put
there. Goo Goo Chocolate Bing Bong.
Yes, which is, Aerosmith's main recording studio.
Right. Yeah.
So in 1954, fast forward 7 years later, 1954, Eisenhower is called into a secret meeting with two alien entities, these Greys, right?
Okay.
He signs a contract with them saying that we will give you X amount of human lives to use for experimentation and for food in exchange for your technology. So now, so out of the crash in Roswell in 1947 and the treaty in 1954, that is where Wi-Fi came from.
Yep.
That's where supposedly over the next 5 years, we're going to see a new space shuttle named the TR-23, right? Which is a triangular UFO-shaped craft that they say can approach light speed, right?
Nice.
And they're figuring out, like, because especially what's going on with the Higgs boson and how to like take matter out of things now. They're saying that we've been having that for a long time and we can make weightlessness happen.
Right.
By giving things no inherent mass.
Put it in a bouncy house.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Bounce it up in our moon shoes.
I'll give it moon shoes.
Now I understand the Higgs boson.
There
you
go.
Ben.
No problem.
Yeah, this is
That's
great.
Why I'm here.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it, but guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins. As soon as I wake up, and a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy. Because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
So at the time, right, 1947 happened. It's like, you know, you have stuff like Project Grudge and Project Sign and Project Blue Book, right?
Right.
These were all projects that were retrofitted. And the idea was the government went into like huge secret investigation of the alien races and alien contact, and they did it under various signs, and eventually became a thing known as Majestic 12, which was
You were going to say Majestic Twat.
Majestic Twat is a great band name.
What is Project Blue Book?
Project Blue Book is a organization that was a part of the Air Force that was investigating UFO sightings.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And the government has actually been very open with Project Blue Book.
Okay, so like, it did exist.
Yeah, because Project Blue Book was made as a screen thing, and they were told to explain things as mundanely as possible.
Yeah.
That was a part of what they did. They wanted nothing. Like, they had a bunch of inconclusive data, and they made them trash it, and then they were like, only stuff that can be totally explained. And then this Project Blue Book was like where the idea of like swamp gas came from, and also the reflective backs of pelicans.
I've never heard of that. Explain.
That they told people that instead of seeing UFOs, they were seeing light bouncing off of pelicans.
That's a good idea.
Pelicans.
It's the mirror of the bird family. You know, you could just pick up a pelican and look at your face and see if you got lipstick on you.
Yeah.
Let's say you've been making out with a fucking dude dressed up like a lady. You could just pick up a pelican and check your shit anytime you need to.
I had no idea.
But I'd say, fuck, I'll give you a nickel if you can even catch a pelican because they are vicious.
and what is swamp gas?
Swamp gas is just saying that pockets of swamp gas would light on fire due to, like, environmental things and make you see UFOs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So then fast forward again to 1974. Alex Collier, a simple man, may have been a perpetrator of many different frauds.
Okay.
Right? His name was something else. It was, like, literally his born name is, like, Alex, like, Rodriguez Gutierrez. It's, like,
ooh,
something
nice.
Else. And he changed
Regal.
His name to Alex Collier.
Okay.
And came out and said that he was approached by this is where the alien agenda really started coming together, where he was approached by a benevolent species named from this star cluster, the Aldebaran. or whatever that is, right?
Alderaan?
No, no, no. We're not doing the Star Wars bullshit. Star Wars is fake. This is real.
This is absolute truth.
And basically he was told that they have to spread this, the message of peace and love, and stop having involvement with the aliens. They were part of a fake treaty with the Greys, and what the Greys do is the reason why they do the abduction sequences the way they do is because they feed off of human fear, and if that only we could learn to love each other and abolish all war, the vibes of goodness would make the Greys leave and make the Draconians leave.
So we should just listen to the Beach Boys.
It's just the end of Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, good vibrations. That'll save the world.
Higher and higher, higher. So that's all. That's technically the way to beat the aliens. And that's so.
Love
right
beats
now,
the aliens.
Love beats the aliens. Okay. And so let's talk about Phil Schneider.
Let's talk about Phil Schneider.
Phil Schneider worked at Area 51, right?
He worked at Area 51. There's some great YouTube clips that Henry sent over to me via email, which was pretty fantastic.
I've been sitting with this topic for like 10, 12 days. Yeah, so that's the thing, guys, is that like what the unleash of Satanism that you all got, this was all on top of that as well. I have been a weird person to be around.
And by the way, I've got a bit of a Satanist. I got a Satanist.
I went to
story.
A really classy July 4th. I went to a really classy July 4th party yesterday and alienated some people. Like that.
What a fun.
Yeah, with the pun intended, because people get really weirded out after you talk about aliens for about 45 minutes.
Well, I want to end the episode.
Trying to explain what I've been trying to explain. Yeah.
I want to end on a Satanist story, a bit of a Satanist update. But yeah, let's continue.
Okay. So Phil Schneider, he was a fellow. He worked at Area 51. He's a heavy set man. He speaks mildly autistic.
He's a fat dude.
You're just trying to discredit this man.
No, I'm not discrediting him.
Everyone says
like
fat dudes can't see or tell the truth.
No, fat dudes can't lie. Fat dudes can't lie. That's the truth. So he went across the country.
Wait a minute. You used to be a fat dude.
I didn't lie then. I just lie now. And so he traveled across the country just telling the people what he found at Area 51, and apparently he encountered
because
the
Greys. Job originally is like what he helped do it was to build a giant underground like spaces for Area 51,
right.
where the
aliens would inhabit.
But they didn't know that, right? That was the idea, is that they just started burrowing holes in the ground because they were making new. So Area 51 is like there's the world's longest airstrip, and there's like a bunch of like government buildings,
right?
But then there's the mountains underneath that is technically called Groom Lake, which is where all the super secret shit is, and all these like caves and stuff. That's where all our new planes are hidden and stuff like that.
Where Data worked in Independence Day.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go. So that is also where Phil worked, and he just basically tells a tale of how he, you know, entered into a room at one point. He saw two of these large beast creatures around 8 feet tall.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, faggot? They pick up that word fast.
The only special they had was Dice Live from New York. So the Andrew Dice Clay wonderful live album.
Whoa.
That would be so amazing.
Little Miss Mump. Sat on a top.
These aliens are funny.
Yeah, these
I
guys
love
are,
these
they're
aliens.
Pushing the envelope.
That's genius shit. So the aliens were apparently very upset with him that they saw him, so he pulled out his gun and he shot both of them dead. But before he could, one of the aliens touched his tummy.
He like made a rubbing motion on his tummy.
And then a blue beam came out and it cut off three out of the five
fingers. And this dude, seriously? This dude's fucked up.
His fingers are all fucked up. Apparently it boiled off his toes, and he said his foot is all fucking just a big nub.
Scar tissue all over his body.
Scar tissue all over his body.
He was zapped with some crazy electric ray.
Didn't know what it was. And the thing is, I mean, the stories are a little wild, but the creepy thing is, as soon as he started giving public speeches, he was like, this is very dangerous. My life has been threatened. He got shot in the shoulder 2 weeks previous to the speech.
And then his friend was murdered too?
Was murdered. And 1 year later, 1996, he was found in Portland, Oregon, dead under mysterious circumstances. It could have been type 2 diabetes or colon cancer, but that is fine.
No, but and the stuff he said, again, was like Alex Collier and said all this stuff, and I mean, very dubious, very insane. You're also talking about like it's like the 70s, and then he did this, the big interview came out in 1994. That's like the famous, like, 2.5 hour like document, like it's just him sitting in this hotel room just being like, it's true, damn it, it's true. Yeah. Like he's just like he's losing his mind, like obviously, like whatever he's dealing with, and
that's so, one thing. It's like regardless of if they're telling the truth or if they're not telling the truth, to them it's definitely the truth, and it ruins their lives. So there's something to that.
And so his stuff backed up Phil Snyder stuff, and these are two people that like had no real connection to each other because they were years and years apart.
Right. Both like, level one security, level one clearance, which is like extremely rare.
Yeah, especially because that's what they're talking about. It's a kind of clearance that the president doesn't have. There's all this stuff that's like when they the stuff they call black projects. You know, black budgets are like undisclosed and all this stuff, and it's been used. It's used by the military. It's used by the CIA for whatever various reasons, either for super secrecy. Or just bunga parties for the CIA.
You bring the prostitutes down there, without a doubt.
Black ops.
It's like we were talking about with, what was that party where everyone, all the world leaders got together?
Bohemian Grove. Exactly. That's in the black ops budget, and that's where you get all the red cups for that, and you get all the condoms.
Just don't go in the alien room. It's going to fucking creep you out.
But all it is just nudie calendars and koozies.
Pretty much, yeah. That's everyone's just beaching it.
Just and beaching Brad Pitt it. Just whacking it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, you guys have the room now. but you have all these people, and there's another guy who came in who's from Sweden, a guy named Billy Meyer, who he has some of the most conclusive, amazing UFO footage that you'll ever see.
It's footage entail?
It's just videos of flying saucers and stuff
and
like that.
There
was heavily debated. Were heavily debated, and it's just always, you know, just like. Everyone's just like, you can't prove it. And someone's just like, well, you can fake that. And he's like, you can't prove it. So it's like, it's just very much up in the air.
When did he make the videos?
In the late 80s, early 90s.
So technology wasn't nearly as good as it is now.
No. And this is a guy that also got approached by alien intelligences who said the same exact thing. And just this idea of, you know, human beings have been manipulated since the beginning of our race in order to serve other people's ends. The only way because basically, like, the Aldebarans and the Pleiades, who are, like, pro-human, we also should talk about the Venusians, because Phil Schneider worked with a Venusian, who's been working with the U.S. government since the 1940s, and is he's still alive, and he still works with the government.
And that's Valiant Thor.
His name is Valiant Thor. He's purple.
Okay. He's a purple fella. You can't shake
his
hand.
They cover his face. Right. He covers his face in a skin-tight bodysuit. Okay. Because he looks human.
He has a lifespan of 490 years. And he's been here for 59 years now. So he looks the exact same. I mean, he's really
young.
And he fills
the copier.
He's been an intern for years, decades. I don't know why he's not trying to move up in the ranks. And
we can get you a finance degree, Valiant. And he's like, I'm from Venus.
No. Okay. You're weird.
I'm happy with my station in life.
He's a very bizarre guy.
I just want to stay in as your admin. I just want to go get my beers and go bowling on Tuesdays.
I do not want the pressures of a corporate lifestyle.
They've nailed the Everman. The aliens definitely got it right. They can work on the voice a little bit. But
he is shouting.
He always shouts. Turn me down.
Oh, you tell me. Oh, we are friends.
I love being friends with you. Yeah, but you can't shake hands with Valiant, because apparently if you shake hands, this is another thing that Phil believed, they'll give you a whole bunch of diseases because he has the alien.
What if you hug him?
You can't hug him. You can't touch him.
Okay.
And that's why Phil, his more controversial thoughts, that's why he believes AIDS, Ebola.
Then at the very end of that whole speech, and he just brings up, he's like, and Janet Reno's a lesbian. Yeah. She is a full-on lesbian. He's like,
at one point, he does take a turn for you're like, oh, wow, okay.
Okay, you don't need to go there. You know, and you see everyone
she
just going,
a lesbian,
like, wrap it up, Phil.
Yeah, let's go, Phil. You had the alien invasion shit, but this Janet Reno a lesbian.
And I know
thing.
That
she's not holding water.
If it would have been like 21st century editing capabilities, people would have said, like, you know, why did they edit out? There's 2 minutes missing out of it. It's like, well, he just talked about
Janet Reno being a lesbian.
For like 2-3 minutes, which 2-3 minutes doesn't sound like a long time,
but it is. She's a lesbian! Yeah. A goddamn lesbian molesting our daughters!
Right. It's like if you put...
mothers lock up your daughters!
Like,
the attorney general's in town.
Thank God he wasn't alive to see the Paula Poundstone Fanani. Fanani? Fanani is a catastrophe involving molestation.
Oh, okay. That seems to make a lot of sense. That's very good. Yes, time does go a little bit slower when you're calling people out for their sexual orientation. That is very, very true. I think that's a human
Again, fact. But that's also the problem we were talking originally about, like, the idea of the studies of the human consciousness, where it's like all these guys, like Auspensky and all these people who came out, like, talking about how, like, in order for humans to evolve, we need to to, like, you know, be one with each other and be one with the planet Earth. They also use that to help the Nazis. You know what I mean? Like, so every single time these guys in these extreme thoughts, they're just making such amazing points, and they're saying all this stuff, and then they just fly off the handle.
Well, so, one woman who believed in esoteric Nazism, she believed that Hitler was defeated because he was too kind. I shit you not. She said that he was too kind and too merciful.
I would just hate to be her boyfriend.
I know. I cannot imagine.
Oh, my.
Not, like, never dinner. Never food.
Oh, no. You just beat the fuck out of her during sex. Hit me in the face.
You're being too kind, you pussy asshole.
My hands hurt.
Hit me again, you fucking bitch. Hit me again.
So those types of women that tie up their titties, like, with the ropes and all that.
I hate that.
Ugh. I don't mind it.
I don't like the clothespins on the titties either. I don't like that.
You don't like it? I just like titties.
Just show me boobies.
I like it when a girl makes their titties out to be like a 1920s pair of underwear just hanging around in a string outside of her Brooklyn apartment building. It's hot. But that's kind of bizarre that, you know, they had this relationship with the Nazis, because didn't we discuss earlier that love is what's supposed to save us from these alien beings?
I mean, it's true.
The most hateful people in history are Nazis.
Because their idea is that what they want to do, they say, is that the alien races that are against humankind are trying to keep us from evolving. Because the more we evolve, the more of a player we'll be in the galactic game. You know,
why don't they just bust out now and just eat us if it's all about food?
Because you know what? They love our TV.
Is that what it's all about? They love the reruns on TV Land.
It's like whenever racists say, like, you know what? All I love about them Chinese is their food and their women. Same thing with the aliens.
Okay, no one ever says, why don't they just take us?
Right.
You know,
right.
Everyone, it's always just kind of being like, they're doing this and it's urgent and the change is coming and all this stuff.
Right.
But it just, well, there's a lot of people saying that what they're doing is it's an end game. And that, like, also the way, that, again, that the people like the Greys and the people like the Giza intelligence, the people that originally were helping the Nazis build rockets and stuff like that, which are Pleiadians underneath Egypt.
Okay.
And that there's a lot of people who believe that these people are the hostile aliens are working alongside corrupt governments in order to create the NWO, and that a part of what the NWO...
And this is with Steve Nash and whatever the other...
Razor Ramon.
I think the 1-2-3 Kid is a part of it.
But these are the same people that believe that... Because part of the
Nash.
New World Order and the Illuminati and all that, like, their supposed endgame is that they're supposed to destroy 6/7 of the human population in order to more easily rule over us, and that what the alien connection is, they're just going to give that 6/7 of the human population to the aliens as a slave race. And that the Aldebarans and the Venusians are doing everything to stop them. But the only people that can actually stop them is human beings stepping forward and taking control of our own evolution. And not using any shortcuts from an alien race. And instead, like, listen to groovy tunes.
Right.
Stop hating gay people and just fly to Mars on a dream, man.
Right.
Get a flying carpet together out of hugs and rainbows and take it to fucking Pluto. And this is what I'm saying.
You know what? I'm down for it.
Sometimes if I'm listening to electric guitar, sometimes I can just imagine the notes coming off the guitar, and you just hop on a bass clef and you just silver surf your way to fucking Andromeda, man.
Yeah. It sounds wonderful. What a beautiful existence that would be.
I can't wait to smoke some weed.
I know. I've been waiting all day. It's like, okay, just waiting to, like, after last podcast, I can smoke, get blazed, and do Cal Man.
We literally can do 4 more episodes trying to decipher what it is. So, again, this is just a... So, I would just say, look it up for yourself. Look up Alex Collier.
Google it up.
Look up the Giza Intelligence. Look up
Send in your theories, your questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's a bit of Satanist news before we get out of here, though.
Very good.
Luigi,
I'm certainly it was logical and very nice.
It actually is, and it makes a very good point. Luigi and Angie Bellaviste have had their Vote Satan sign stolen from their Colorado front porch, act they'd like to be considered a hate crime.
Hey, all right.
Here's a quote. Had that been the Star of David or a verse from the Quran that got damaged by somebody against those beliefs, that would certainly be considered a hate crime.
That's really true.
You know
Isn't
what?
That something?
It's a double standard.
It's a big double standard.
And that ain't right.
Yeah, it said the front lawn also is home to an upside down cross, fake spiders, the number 666, and some skulls. Neighbors say the Bellaviste's beliefs don't really bother them and suspect the sign was just stolen by some rascally kid.
I think it's pretty awesome.
They're like, you know,
know, the thing about them is they're very quiet and they're a lot of fun around Halloween. So we don't really bother
they
them.
They are. I'm sure they're the best around Halloween. All right, we got to get them. I think bong water is smarter than me right now.
Yeah, fairly certain. I am drenched.
I know, we're so hot. We got.
But yeah, just so you know, yeah, don't trust an alien.
Don't trust an alien.
This is big and purple, and it's helping our government. All
right, that's right. But don't shake its hand.
All right, just look out. But that's again. That's what we're saying. 30,000 kids go missing in Westchester County every year, and a lot of it is people saying it's draconians coming from the depths and stealing our children. So if you see anyone with a ridged cheeks,
that's right. They come dressed as clowns.
Fucking slice their throat open.
Yeah. You know, maybe. You never know when you're going to get
one. It could be pimples. It could be ridges.
You know, it's an odds game.
Fucking just, shoot first. Ask questions later when it comes to draconians.
Absolutely. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Henry.
Magustalations. Whoa. Moo-moo goes the choo-choo.
Moo-moo goes the choo-choo.
Yes.
Don't forget about how the choo-choo goes. Moo-moo.
It goes moo-moo when it's a cow train.
Oh, that's good.
And it's all draconian CSS, a bunch of cows for meat. That's all they are, so it's meat milk. That's all they want from us.
Okay, yes.
Good, we got it.
Goodbye.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love the most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus more of the dietary fiber and protein you want. No compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HERO10 at checkout. That's HERO10 at HERO.co.